Oh, good.
The beard and the point.
Welcome to Whiskey Wednesdays.
Whiskey Wednesdays. Hey,
Oh,
not brought to you by Walcott, a gift from a sponsor at another event. Walcott, this is a authentic Kentucky-made bourbon.
well,
Rickhouse Reserve.
that's the only thing that can technically be called bourbon,
Well,
honestly.
it better be Kentucky.
So this is fading out because it won't pick up with the background, whatever, but it's Joseph Magnus. And it's about
Cheers.
$9 at your local retail outlet, and it is worth every penny.
How much?
90 bucks.
That's a decent price.
Actually, it's about double what I'd normally pay for anything. But it's a beautiful thing, and it's just like I say that we get crackling from Billy's Boudin and Cracklin in Scott, Louisiana. That's love in a paper sack. I think that Joseph Magnus is love in a glass bottle. So it's worth 90 bucks.
Yeah, this is $47.49 on Instacart.
You went for my second sip. Wow, I'm getting aggressive. So how have you been this week, Jeff?
Kind of a kick in the nuts, I'm gonna be honest. I have had a few.
Yeah, I have too. For legal reasons, I can't really get into it on any kind of a public forum. But
Really?
yeah,
You'll have to tell me that
will
offline.
offline. I'll give you an update on just how Global's doing this week. But it was a kick in the nuts.
No, mine is sales related. It's always the pipeline and things that are sure things never are.
I opened up Pressure Clearwater, Florida. So I
You were there.
was in Gatorland for the first part of the week. And there's an interesting thing about Clearwater I did not know. But apparently, the life goal was supposed to be single by the time you're 45 so that you can move to Clearwater and have all the 20 somethings and 30 something year old women looking for a single 45 to 55 year old man. That is literally a thing out there. But there's this other little caveat that the guys have to have a little bit of money.
There's a guy that we probably both know because he's in our business and he is on the pro he's on the project side of our business. He was on the carrier side
Okay.
for CMA projects.
Oh, we're gonna narrow it down. Okay. All right.
He's no longer there. So anyway,
God help us if any of this is ever noticed at
yeah,
this
if anybody listens to this
by
now.
anyone in our industry, they're gonna be like, oh man, those guys are really putting us out there. Yeah. We're starting to call your asses out.
We were catching up for some reason last year or a year and a half ago. We're talking, and he moved to Florida. I think he moved to Clearwater. Oh my goodness, he lives in Clearwater,
Oh God.
and he was loving life down there.
I'm not gonna make any accusations, but I did see a lot of up down upside down pineapple stickers on a lot of cars. And Jeff, I gotta tell you, I did think about you while I was out there. There are all these areas of Clearwater that need to be regentrified. And it's not like it's not go in and pick and choose this house, that house, that house. It's you get an investment group together, go buy a block of houses and fix the block. And then you take this one random boat shop that went out of business 20 years ago that's just been vacant, and you turn that into some hipster bar
I was going to say, like a
that
cool
everyone can
bar.
walk to. It is ripe for the picking. And I think we could do it and turn and bring down the median age of Clearwater by 20 years.
Wow.
Because we could actually make it affordable, make it fun, make it somewhere where somebody that's 35 can have it just as good a time. And then you're not just looking at 55-year-old dudes in Speedos. All right, so we're getting way off topic. This is not anything related to the topic. Point is,
It's interesting.
we had
I
good
am,
weather for Clearwater. I'm happy to be home. Flight home was a beautiful thing today.
Speaking of
Cheers.
flights, yeah, man, cheers. Speaking of flights, air freight, the air cargo market rides an incoming wave. Are you doing a lot of air freight right now?
I'm doing zero air freight right now, Jim.
I'm doing a bunch.
All of my freight is ocean freight right now.
Yeah, I sent you some today.
Within inches of beginning to move my rail freight.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm working on that deal. We had to do a soft corporate offer as CO, but I was on with the seller and helping them to get the cost model together so they could send it over to apparently a buyer in Egypt. So we have a buyer in Manhattan, a buyer in Egypt, a buyer in China, and we're going to let them fight it out and see who outbids whom. And I've given them all the cost model of what it's going to take to actually do this, but I'm really excited about it, man. If we can get this going, once we get this going, it's the first time it's ever been done. It's literally groundbreaking logistics. That's
Yeah.
something nobody's ever just thrown it out there and said, let's go do this. And we're going to do it. And that's going to put my little company on a map.
Yeah.
Whether or not I want it to be on a map, that's another story. But there's no such thing as bad publicity, right?
Until Donald Trump might be eating those words right now.
No, I'm not going to put anything on Twitter.
Yeah. He's, man, I'm a pretty big target, and they're handing out $450 million judgments against me.
Used to when you were on X, it meant you were like licking somebody's eyeballs and listening to EDM and bouncing up and down for no reason and sweating profusely.
Yeah.
And now, if you're on X, that just means you're venting 144 characters of whatever piss and vinegar is in your soul. It's weird. Like how
Just got
terminology.
your joke. I just got it.
Did you?
Yeah, now I get it. On the uptake, I'm going to blame Walcott.
If we don't get on topic, we're going to get drunk before we get to the point.
Yeah, there's one, there's Mike Alexander's.
How did you escape that place without an accent? Is this because you
I
were
had one. I only have it when I go back. I'm 20 years. Half of my life has now been spent outside of Louisiana.
I only have it when I come back from doing cell call down there.
Yeah.
When I
Then
come back talking like this and
it
then
comes back real.
shares my house says, you better slap that shit out your mouth. I'm not going to talk to
Well, I'm more New Orleans, so I'm a yak.
you. Yeah. So New Orleans, what I've realized is that New Orleans accent is it's like New
Brooklyn.
York without all the tension.
Yeah. We're laid back, but we talk like this. Hey.
Yeah. First time I met somebody from New Orleans, I
Where
was
y'all
like,
at?
are you from New York? And
Where
they're
y'all
like,
going to?
oh, New Orleans. And I was like, starts with new. I was halfway there.
Yeah. So
Anyway.
it's a when you listen to my mom and my sister when they're talking, oh man, I thought, man, she is trash.
Yeah. It's like when I talk to my brothers, I suddenly become a trucker.
Yeah. Well.
I don't understand it. I just it's something about the East Texas roots.
So overall, your week has been good.
Yeah.
Except for
We're
this
pretty
lawsuit that you'll have to tell me
good.
about.
It's not a lawsuit. It's not a lawsuit. I'm not
Oh,
out the
sorry.
airwaves.
Sorry.
It's a legal issue over a contract. And it's, certain things that really push my buttons about if I'm going to go through the trouble to spend $10,000 to have a contract written to go into business with somebody, then I want them to follow the letter of that contract. Just as I am going to follow the letter.
Oh, so that's a good point. So this goes into air freight. It doesn't per it pertains to me, some of the chapped ass that I have. So I'm working on a deal. I was, not anymore, but I learned, right? So I go and I meet up with this dude because I hadn't heard from him. He's moving everything on FedEx lately. FedEx.
What?
And these are.
When is that a good idea?
So hold up, dude. So he had been moving primarily with our previous friends, okay? Our previous friend's previous owner, right? Baseball team. And
Yes, I know exactly.
so
I was
that
actually
dude's.
brandishing their brand in Florida, not knowing that the Phillies are doing their spring training there.
Oh,
So
shit.
I'm wearing the star in all out. And
Yeah.
yeah, that's funny. Anyway, go ahead.
So anyway, he's all in. He wants to work with us as recently as like January. And it's a lot. It's a drilling provider, and probably 8 to 15 tons a week. Big boxes, oversized, about 12 feet long.
Oh, the good stuff.
It is the good stuff, my friend.
It's the good stuff,
And
the oversized charge stuff.
going to Middle East, all the right, singing all the right tunes.
Already know exactly who I'd put that with. Yeah.
I go in, and this is Monday. He's moving with FedEx. You're going to have to walk me through.
Why?
Get this, bro. FedEx came to them and said, I've seen that we see that you're moving your cargo on our planes. We think we can do it at a better price. We know we can because you're just paying somebody else and they're moving it in our planes. We'll do it better.
Are
Built
you
him a tool.
FedEx just back-sold somebody?
Our old friends. Yes.
Oh, you know what, though? That just came full circle.
So I'm.
Because they used to do the same thing, our old friends.
So I'm just like, I'm blown away by this. And he's telling me he's an open book and he's not what I would call a understanding exactly what he's telling me. But
Okay.
he's showing me the tool. He said they built me a tool and I can put it in basically the same day that I need it picked up. And it spits out a rate. And he says, Jeff, I'm going to tell you, it's anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 cheaper than anybody else. I'm like, wow, that's impressive.
Right now.
And they're handling door to airport, right? They're doing the pickup on a flatbed, the whole nine. But the key is they just back solicited.
They back solicited, but they're also undercutting because they know what they were charging the freight forwarder. When I salvaged a very large importer, and I explained to them how that was going to be a terrible plan because they were a brand new importer. They had no idea what they were doing. And I said, I guarantee you, no one that's going to get your file on their desk is going to know anything about you.
I'm gonna edit all that out, just so you know. I have your back. It's very easy to edit. I just have to.
I'm gonna have to go. I gotta go refill this. So keep talking. And because that was too good. That was too good. So since we're doing promos, and we're not getting paid for this, just so everybody knows.
Yeah.
This is Joseph Magnus.
Not
I think
getting paid
background.
yet. So you want to talk fuel surcharges?
I do want to talk fuel surcharge because we have what, 9 minutes left?
Oh, do we?
I don't know. How long is this supposed to go?
It'll tell me when there's time.
Ah, that's delicious.
I'll have to try that.
You will have to try it. Maybe you can come over and we'll try it with cigars. I have some Cubans imported directly from Conroe. Anyway, so here's the deal. So I've long since had a problem with fuel surcharge.
Who?
Fuel surcharge came about, and I'm writing an article about this, and I'll post the article on LinkedIn. And when I do, I'll put a link to this show. Okay.
You should be putting a link to the show anyway, but
I have a reason. When I post this article on LinkedIn, I'm gonna route it to this show as well because I want people to hear, and just true talking back and forth on what. How this affects us in the world of logistics, but how what people don't understand is everything that affects the world of logistics ultimately affects them. So when they hear about something on the news or they hear about something in the media or whatever that says fuel surcharge is going to this, fuel's doing that, everybody just ignores it. The common person that works at S&H Manufacturing, which if that's an actual company, I apologize. I didn't, I'm just making up letters. ABC company. Oh shit, that's a building supplier. Anyway, there's really nothing we can make up anymore that hasn't become a company name. Even the word Google became a company, so we're screwed on trying to come up with fictitious company names. But any person that works in a regular world, they see something on the news or they hear a snippet about a fuel surcharge or this surcharge or freight rates, trans-Pacific, eastbound, and it is becoming so expensive. And they're like, that doesn't matter to me. And they change the channel or they scroll past and they move on. And what they don't realize is that all impacts you personally, because everything you own, everything you purchase, everything that you get from Amazon, everything you get from Walmart, everything you get from Target,
Eggs,
Costco, eggs,
fertilizer, man.
flowers. There was an entire airline called Aeroflorale that was built upon bringing flowers in from Central America for years and years. So everything you purchase came from somewhere else, because the United States is the world's customer. And no one realizes this. Everybody says, why does the USA have to get in everybody's squabbles? Why do they have to get involved in all these skirmishes and all this? And
They
it's
want us
because
to be.
we come in and we say, this is how things should be. And everybody's like, well, why do we have to trust your opinion? And it's because the customer is always right. And the United States is the world's biggest customer.
Like how you put, we're the largest customer.
It is what it is.
Interesting.
We're the largest customer. If you use that transitive property, if the customer is always right, that's why the United States gets to do what we get to do. Now let's carve out what's happening right now, where we're pretty weak in all of those areas. But the
Joe
point is,
Biden.
for all these years, we've been that person, right? We've been that customer. Anyway, people don't realize that everything that you hear on the news, everything that you see that's affecting the cost of importing something, the cost of manufacturing something, the cost of the fuel that it takes to transport something, it all comes down to you, the consumer. It's all getting passed through, because if I, the freight forwarder, have to pay that rate, I have to pass that on to the importer, has to put in their landed cost, goes into there what their profit margin is going to be. Their profit margin gets put above that. And then they put that product on the shelf, and you, the customer, get to see 9, 10, 12, 14% inflation. And everybody's like, how did that happen? You remember those ocean rates you saw in 2021 and 2022? They were $25,000 a container for a container that used to cost 3 grand. Yeah, that's how that happened. So I hate to use the word, the phrase trickle down economics, but that's really what it is. That's literally what it is. It trickles down to the consumer. So everybody that says they don't care about economic policy, they don't care that there was a 25% upcharge put on all Chinese imports. They don't care. It's all getting paid for by the consumer. It's not, anyway, back to the topic. So as we noticed in our last podcast, I have a hard time staying on topic because I have a lot of opinions about a lot of things.
Well, I
What
was going
happened?
to show you something
Show me something.
as you were sharing that. How do I share the screen?
Go to share screen.
Well, here it is, share screen, because you're exactly correct. And look, I was going on podcast, as you can see, and having these conversations and stating that very same theory, David.
That's why we're friends, Jeff.
That's right. Supply chain challenges is going to affect material prices.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It affects everything.
Right? Investing during the financial crisis and balancing work life. But I went on about 15 to 20 different podcasts talking about that. After how global supply chain and interest rates are impacting investors, because these are builders, these are developers, they were dealing with these inflation costs, these inflationary costs, and the backlogs. And so everything that you're saying is absolutely correct. And it's not just fuel, it's everything from lead times from overseas, from manufacturing. So absolutely, you're 100% correct. We are aligned.
And a lot of people don't understand what the term leading indicators means. And leading indicators is it's an indication of what's going to happen to the economy. And leading indicators start with manufacturing. And manufacturing always has to order packaging. They have to order crating, packaging, pallets, because as they're manufacturing goods, they have to order all of this packaging and pallets and packaging, all the crating to get their product, their supplies, their tools moved to producers, right? So a leading indicator means who's on the front end of that line, who's going to get the first phone call when there's an order placed. So if somebody makes a big order from Walmart for a bunch of toys or whatever it is, then Walmart has to reach out to a manufacturer of toys and say, hey, we got to do this. And so, yeah, so are we related? Oh my God. You are our fathers. So it you know, people don't understand what that means. What's a leading indicator? You know, if packaging suppliers or crating suppliers, pallet builders say that their income is down, their revenue is down, that's bad. That's a leading indicator that, like, that means nobody's ordering anything because nobody's building anything, nobody's going to ship anything, and that's bad.
No, and I'll tell
That's
you what
been
I've learned.
written.
I've learned something new too. I've learned that when inventories are high, I know you've known this, but I'm on the import side. Like the higher that inventories are, that's also a leading indicator of the import side being slowing down and manufacturing over there slowing down. And so when during the kind of real estate boom cycle, there's a lot of different booms. There's numerous cycles that were going, right? Segments. And one of them was warehousing. Everybody wanted to build these new warehousing. So I was getting all these guys coming, hey, warehousing, warehousing. I said, slow down there, Tonto.
Why, Tonto?
I don't know. You don't like that one?
No, I'm good with it. Tonto was a faithful friend, Kimo
Yeah.
Stomach.
That's why I'm telling him, slow down there, faithful friend. What would be a better one?
Boudreaux.
Yeah. Oh, Boudreaux.
Go
But slow down. The only reason, so you're going to go build a whole bunch of warehousing.
Boudreaux. Yeah.
Why do they need warehousing? Because right now, there's no space because they brought all this crap in.
Okay.
Because they were rush buying.
Yep.
So everybody's going on these numbers that are inflated, but everybody was panic buying.
They were
And they
panic buying. That's what I was about to say. They were panic buying because of the shortages created by the supply chain shutting down in the first place.
So I was not on board with these warehouse new builds. And you can drive around Houston and see a lot of empty warehouses that haven't leased. There's a couple by Beltway and 45.
I've seen them all, man. There is a gorgeous. Oh, I wish I had the money. 256,000 square feet off of Imperial Valley and Greenway Plaza area.
Yeah.
They've got a dock plate at every single dock door, and
Gorgeous,
they've got
dude.
1,000 dock doors. And I toured that facility thinking that we were going to open a PPE warehouse
Oh
because
yeah, when you were
in
working with
21.
old girl.
Not to be named. Everyone thought they were going to the PPE business. And I went and toured that warehouse, and it is still vacant today.
That's a
200
lot of money that has been spent with no return. So
Nope.
I just was not on. There's a lot. That's all pro forma stuff, right?
Know what the builder got, though? 100%
Paid.
tax write-off in 20.
Yeah.
Which we don't
So
get anymore.
that's a leading indicator, right? Like
Yeah.
the high inventories that they're still bleeding out.
It's terrible, dude. It's terrible.
But I don't understand. So talking about the air freight, I don't get the price in the Red Sea. I don't know. Because air freight is high right now. Weirdly high. Ocean freight is weirdly high.
It's weirdly okay. All right. I think that this is actually, I think this is okay. I'll go. I don't know how public forum this is because I think we have tens and tens of listeners, but that plane in the background is a Ukrainian owned,
Yeah, at the time there was two.
right? That plane that night was going to Africa. That picture was taken, it was going to Senegal. That plane cost me, I believe, $785,000 that night. That plane, if I call for that plane right now to get that same flight, would be $3.4 million. And what they're
Wow.
hiding behind is the fact that they can't home base in the Ukraine anymore. They're having to home base in Germany. And anytime you call for the plane, they have to leave it from Germany and come to you and then take your flight and then go back to Germany. So they're charging you for the round. And it's bullshit, Jeff. Ukraine is, in my opinion, internet, the largest money laundering operation on the planet Earth.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
How many other countries in the world tax their residents so that they can send money to the United States? If you do that math compared to us and give me like a reasonable balance, then maybe we can have a decent conversation on it. But if you can't figure it out, maybe it's a theory. But that aircraft right there is a complete ripoff at this moment in time. And if we could get our US government to declassify a C5 Galaxy, we wouldn't need that piece of shit anymore. All we need is something that has a way to sit on the ground, load from the ground, and carry 120 tons. And the C5 can do that. So if we can get the US military to just declassify some of their 25-year-old C5s, McDonnell Douglas, reliable aircraft, totally reliable, GE powered. Just declassify five of them, just five of them. I'll start the company. I'll start the chartering company. Global, we'll start the chartering company.
Be great.
It'll be great. And then we can put the Ukrainians back on their ass.
Hey, go join this other meeting.
Okay. See you in a minute.